strictly one chapter of the Bible, Luke 23. And I found 17 characteristics of people or characters in Luke 23 associated with this chapter. It's about the greatest giving event in history and the greatest sin in history, and found in Luke 23. We'll look at how the Lord set up this chapter and events. It's amazing when you, a lot of times when you first get saved, you read through the Bible and you kind of get some things, and as you spend, slow down, understand things, you're like, look at how detailed a lot of the things are in the scripture. Like, wow, I never saw that before. Amazing thing how the Lord just sets these things up. So we'll go through hopefully six or seven today, and next week, Lord willing, we'll cover the other ones. Now, this one's going to be negative. Remember, the Bible's got negative and positive. There's a lot of negative things in the Bible, but there's positive things too. So you need both. It's like a battery. Don't run without negative and positive. So you got to have the negative to be able to understand the positive things. So today, the first six or seven are pretty much negative, but next week, hang in there. The positive, it's like law, death, grace. You know, kind of like open your Bible up on your side, put it on your lap. What do you have left side? Law, death, judgment. Put it up on the right side. Right. Grace. The Lord. Right. Kind of see how that kind of works out, whatever, you know. Kind of right there on your lap. Sitting right there. So kind of interesting. Okay. So I'm not going to read the chapter 23 because for lack of time, we'll cover a lot of these verses during the next couple weeks. And the first group of people we're going to talk about today is the accusing multitude. The accusing multitude. Let's look at 23 in Luke verses 1 and 2. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." Now, this is kind of a, you look at the few verses above in 22, you can see these people, after Jesus Christ kind of admit that he was God, they're now falsely accusing him, and it's accusing multitude. Notice in verse 23 here, it says, "And they were instant and loud voices requiring that he might be crucified." There, you know what though? Folks that have a loud voice, nothing wrong with that on occasion, but you know what though? Seems like those loud, they're always using loud voices to get your attention. And the priests, yeah, this is kind of the devil's multitude of people. The Lord's got his multitude, I'll cover it in a minute, and the devil's got his multitude. And they're falsely accusing multitude. And they show up in Matthew 26:47, let's just go look over here. Matthew 26:47, I wrote it down. Must be, want me to read it if I wrote it down. Matthew 26:47, it says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude," isn't there a multitude right there, "with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders to the people." There's that multitude again, you know, the devil's crowd, you know. There they are again. And in Matthew 27:20, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas to destroy Jesus." So we'll get more into that, but you can see there is the crowd of the multitude, the devil's crowd. And they wanted, what? Think about that. Let the Lord Jesus Christ go and Barabbas go. Remember, this multitude shows up again in Acts 16:22-23. Let me just give you a little Acts 16:22-23. "And the multitude rose up together against them." There's an accusing multitude. "And magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." So there, you got to be careful of those folks. There's the accusing multitude, and they'll always be with us. Now, we have kind of the other side of the coin. you know, the other multitude. It says here, in Jesus preached to the multitudes in Matthew 13:34. So you got one set of multitudes. You have the one Jesus preached to. You got the one that he commanded in Matthew 14:19. So he's got the preaching multitude, the ones that he's commanded, the ones he's the called multitudes in Matthew 15:10. And then the ones he had compassions on the multitude in Matthew 15:32. He fed the multitudes in 15:35, and he showed mercy publicly on the multitudes in 17:14-15. See the group there? There's also the multitude that followed Jesus in Matthew 20:29, and the multitude that praised him in 21:18. There was the multitudes that recognized Jesus as prophet, Matthew 21, and the multitudes that were astonished at his doctrine, Matthew 22:23. See it? So you got two types of people there. You got the falsely accusing multitudes, and you got, you know, kind of the multitudes that see truth. Where are these good multitudes today? Hope you know the difference between the accusing ones and the ones that the Lord preached to, commanded, called, had compassion on, fed, mercy, all those things. Pastor Hoffman calls them the white hats and the black hats. I kind of like that. Keep it. Some of the simplest things out there are simple. How does it apply to us today? I always like application. Notice these multitudes. Where do they go? They went to the government officials. Notice that? Yeah. These rough jokes. Where they go? They're going to the government right there. You know, speaking loudly, falsely accusing. Nothing changes today. Amen. So you know, there they go. They're going to the government officials. So what are they saying? Oh, about the other multitude. Oh, you're a white supremacy and left wingers and Trump voters. And in my old days growing up, we were called WASP. Remember WASP? White, Anglo, Saxon. That kind of got old. And they just basically, you know, wouldn't go anywhere with that. So they were kind of rebranding some of this stuff. You know, very interesting how Lord lay this off. The accusing multitude is gearing up for the body of Christ. You can see it happening, folks. Be careful, those guys. You see what's kind of happening here? The Lord lays these people out here, you know, and you pay real close attention. Because why? They're ultimately coming for, we know the Old Testament, they're coming for the Jews, you know, ultimately against ungodliness. The Lord knows that he's coming, going to be returning. The devil knows his time is short. So very, very careful. Be ready and looking for these things. So you got the accusing multitude, right down right here. Two. What you've got here, another group of characters here, I call them weak Pilate. Weak Pilate. Influenced by the accusing multitude. See how it's a step there? So you got the weak multitude, and he mentioned three times that Jesus Christ was innocent. Here in verse 4 says, when Pilate then said Pilate to the chief priests, and to his people, I find no fault in this man. Very early on, Pilate knew this is a shim sham. They're accusing him. There's a four. Look what he's doing. A little bunch of wimps, whatever, you know. He knew right away, get out of town. But he was weak. See that there? Oh, you know, the Lord even set this up with a weak politician in place. Knew it also go on. He knew he was innocent in verse 14. Said unto them, this is Pilate, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man. Touching these things where ye accuse him. So here he is a second time showing that he found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 23, and they were instant and loud voices, there they are again, you know, making all that noise, hey, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and to the chief priests prevail. And Pilate and said unto them a third time, why, what evil had he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. So here, this is not a matter of like maybe finding somebody, you know, in court, you know, a lot of times a bureaucrat come in, find the money, some money going. This is a man's life here. And not only is a man's life, this is not an easy way of dying. This is a pretty brutal way of dying, crucifixion. But again, Pilate was weak and just gave into this crowd here. What you have here is you have a mob rule mentality. This is a mob rule mentality. Politicians will put up with chaos because they're weak. Now, we see that happening around here last summer, all the stuff going on, mobbery and fiery, and they're caving in. It's amazing. You see that happening right around where we're at. We're in a republic. When you pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, for the republic for which it stands, based on the Constitution, right? It's not a democratic way of doing things, or democracy. Democracy means mob rules. Everyone agrees, everyone with white hair gets killed, then that happens. That's not the way to run things, you know? How many ever heard of a guy named Rob Sherman? Remember Rob Sherman? Rob Sherman? He was the president of the United Atheist Society of America. I Google him, by the way. I met him, interesting little story here. I met him when I first got saved. He had a little article. He's a Jew. Something about atheism or, you know, there's no God. So I call him on the phone and I go, hey, there's a God. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm all zeal, no real knowledge. And he goes, you sound interesting. Come on my cable show. I go, okay, I'm coming. I go, wait a minute here. I can't show up on this cable show. I don't know anything. So I go, I better find out what I'm doing before I go out there. So I called up Dave, my buddy Dave Black. I heard he was real good about laws and government. So I go, Dave, I'm going to find on this guy's cable show. I have no clue I'm talking about government and all this stuff here. I'm saved. Come on with me. It's the first time I met him. Someone recommended me. So Dave Black, he's been here before. This is back in the 80s. When he came out, we became instant friends. I saw my friend to this day. And we went on the cable show. And how he begins is he pledged allegiance and leads out under God. See, I mean, that's the key part of that. We're under God. See, these people here, they had no fear of God. If they feared God, they would know, hey, it's wrong to take a man's life. I mean, see, that's the basis of what you have to have a foundation of. They had a no God. Interesting story. I went out with Rob Sherman afterwards, me and Dave. He's actually a nice guy. You actually could sit down. He is a real nice guy. Read about him. He was known as just not really getting mad at you, just having a real nice demeanor. And we gave him the gospel. But look at his history. He had his kids fight Boy Scouts and girls, do all kinds of stuff about signs. Interesting was, he died a few years ago. He was a pretty well-to-do guy. He had built his own airplane, experimental airplane, and he moved to an airport community, and he literally, this plane malfunctioned, and he went straight down and killed himself. You know, I just wondered, what's he thinking as he's headed down on the ground, they're ready to die? I wonder if, oh my atheist, I just wonder, what is he thinking as he's going down? He knows he's going to fight the dust. What's going through his mind? I just wonder about that. We'll find out one day. As Dr. Ruckman says, he's coming up. He's coming up, right? We're going to find out. So anyways, you can see here what's happening here. You have these accusing multitude, and you got weak Pilate giving in. You got another character here. I call him Sissy Herod. Sissy Herod. Let's look at verse number 8 here in this chapter. And it says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Here what you have is Sissy, I call him Sissy Herod. This is a man that beheaded John the Baptist, right? And I think his father's the one that killed all people in Luke chapter 2, I believe, right? With when he was said that our king was coming, and kill all his babies. And the Lord Jesus wasn't going to give this guy the time of day. But he answered him nothing. Ain't that an amazing thing? Hey. It's a sad day when the Lord has no interest in you. Ain't that sad? Here's God incarnate in the flesh, standing for him, and he answered him not a word. Ain't that scary thing? Man, oh man. Hey, you know what though? What's the worst thing for us believers is the Lord putting us on a shelf and we know we don't have the fellowship. That's the sad thing for the believers. The sad thing for him, and answer you once, I know who you stinking are, who your dad was. Hey. He was glad to see him. Some miracle worker. He wants to, the last thing I ain't doing, I ain't saying a word. And you know what though? Herod didn't like it. He took his men of war, the soldiers there, mocking him. See that? That's a sissy, man. And the same, it says in Luke 23:12, and the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before that there was enmity between them. This is a burn brain. Birds of a feather flock together. See, they were united in some calamity. See, we know you can unite some way. You could have like a knitting club or a fishing club or whatever, you have a unity, but they're united against what? Some wicked thing they did. Now, I try to find a verse for this. First thing I find, maybe there's some better one. Let me know. Psalm 35:26. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. The Lord answers those things. I believe, based on history, Pilate committed suicide. That's kind of history. That's what I read about. You know, thus saith the Lord. But you know what, though? It tells you, you know, just committed suicide. That's how history says that Pilate ended his life. And Herod, his name is Herod Antipas, was banned to an island by his own cousin. And history says he tried to commit suicide too, but he's such a sissy, probably can figure it out, you know? So there you are, right there. See, how's that end at the end? Sad. Sad state. Think of them. Both of them, you got weak Pilate and sissy Herod. They're coming up. They're going to face their way around. That's something to think about. And man, they have a lot of time to think about it. So you got accusing multitude, weak Pilate, you got sissy Herod, you've got here another group of person here. I call them murderous Barabbas. Let's go to Matthew 27:16 for a second here. Wrote this down. Must have been the reason why I did. 27:16. Here we go. Oh, yeah. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. So he was known for his hanky-panky in the doing. It says in Luke 20:19, who for certain sedition made the city and for murder was cast in a prison. He's a murderer. Hey, you can do some crimes and things that are wrong, but hey, you know what though? He was a known thug and a murderer. And he was cast in prison. So weak Pilate gave into the accusing multitude to release Barabbas. See how that downward trend comes in there, folks? See, it's a down. And the Lord set this whole thing up at the perfect time, my time not ready yet. He knew everything had to be set in stage, just like what's going on today, folks. The stage is kind of set around. We're kind of, you know, the rocket's launching, all the fire's going, got brewing up, man. We can see it. We're kind of just like, we don't know the whole picture, but we know it's going to be blasting off soon, right? And kind of pretty cool. I mean, we can see. You look at how God set things up. It's coming. It's coming. Now here. But the motivation here was envy. That was envy. Matthew 27:18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. See, these guys, They're not stupid. They're weak and they're foolish, but they knew better. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Matthew 15:10. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Even the Lord can stand behind. Well, the Lord could have, you know, think about it. If we were in a spot, he would have zapped that guy and zapped that guy and zapped that guy. He didn't do that. That's real power to contain it because you had a bigger cause. But we would probably pulling our guns out or whatever you mean if we had things, but you know, but for envy. Please take a note. The folks did not care about the victims of the murderer. Oh, think about that people that Barabbas killed. It's all about them. A lot going on today, right? You know, you hear about not the victims I mentioned. They have a victims, it's a big, if you're in a police department, they have a big thing about victims to try to bring them up even when you come for parole, to remember what they did, those people. People suffered. I mean, killed someone, you probably, think if you had a mom, if you killed someone, he was a father, and he probably had a wife and children and grandchildren. Hey, there's people, no man liveth or dieth to himself. You kill someone, there's someone affected by that. Some real victims. The accused today get more rights than the victims. The system back there was broke, and today it's not much different. We're seeing that all throughout now our country, throughout the world. You know, we're kind of a way like Barabbas. I mean, think about it. We deserve death, right? And you know what? Got life. Just think of this here. Think of, you know, I figured there were four people there. You had the two thieves, Jesus and Barabbas. Now, it was custom they released one of them. I'm wondering, thinking, man, who's going to be? We got this four people here. He's probably thinking I'm a murderer. He was known. I ain't the guy they're going to release. Think about that. And, you know, think about it. You're not going to get injection, die peacefully. You're going to get tortured and crucified. That's a bad way of going. If you look at the detail there. And you imagine hearing those soldiers coming to his cell, opening up. Hey, Barabbas, you're free to go. He took the offer. I probably bail out of there. I mean, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the guy to let go. You know, I found nowhere in scripture about that guy. I wonder if he really knew the meaning of what happened to him. I wonder if he stuck around and looked, like, hey, I should have been on that cross over there. Someone took my place and heard afterwards. You know, the Lord doesn't put that down there. There's probably a lot of stories. I mean, it says the books would not be heard if it contained everything in John. I wonder if we're going to go, That's what happened. Wow, that guy got saved. Well, that guy, I'm sure we're going to be like unbelievable eternity to hear about them, right? But silent about it. I just wonder about Barabbas, you know? So we'll find out, I guess, in eternity what happened. Hopefully Barabbas got saved. Today what's happening is you're on death row for eternity. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and then they won't crucify you. You're on death row. You know, I think it says in Judges, because judgment against an evil work is not carried out speedily, it is set in man, the set in heart of man to do wicked continually. I'm pointing it wrong. I apologize. But you know what I'm saying? That's why I have a quick and speedy trial and judgment, not 30, 40 years on death row. And so Barabbas, hey, judgment set. We're going to crucify you the next day. You're thinking about things. You've got to be thinking about some things, knowing your life is about to be hacked. Okay, so we have accusing multitude, weak Barabbas, silly Herald, murderous Barabbas was released because of these knuckleheads. We have cruel and wicked religious folks. Be careful those there. Deceived chief priests and scribes full of envy. That's a very dangerous spot to be in. Let's look at Matthew 26:27. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of 12, came, and with them a great multitude with swords and staves. There's a multitude right there, bad people, from the chief priests and elders of the people. So there they are, you know, very early, it was nighttime, they're grabbing, you know, trying to grab Jesus, you know, envy. But Peter followed him off, afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, and yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and build in 3 days." And at the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is which these witness against thee?" See that there? So you've got these chief priests, elders, taking the mob and taking them with you. Now it says, Matthew 27:1, when the morning was come. Interesting. Those dogs are still mad from evening to morning. Ain't that something? Here they are all night long. You should be sleeping, getting rest. They just can't see that envy. It burns within you, man. People don't rest. There's no rest for wicked right here. See that? They just can't. They got to get that blood. Now, we know it was incited by the devil, but that's people. I got to get. Look at me, devils. I got to get that. Got to get it. And when the morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death from evening to morning. Ain't that something? And they knew, hey, bring him to Herod and Pilate, and you know, we'll get some folks us here and rail that dude with stinking dogs. Notice, all they wanted was blood. That's blood thirsty down. Note this, folks. Religious people are bloody killers. Mark that down. One of the greatest things about church history is a lot of the people that murders and wars, they're religious in nature. Nothing's ever changed from destroying the Son of God to right here. Read that Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see all those things that were killed, and the Muslims and Catholics and all that ethnic cleansing stuff. It's heinous. Nothing's really ever changed. Just the time has changed. You see it right here, set up here. In Luke 23:4, the chief priest, Luke 23:23, there they are, priests all right there, falsely accusing, wanting blood, getting the wild up. It was now among the people, it was known among the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So even after this happened, when they're talking in Luke here 24, it was known. They knew they were railroaded. Remember, you know, when Jesus walked with the disciples, did you hear about how they messed around with them? The priests, they don't gain any respect. It's unfortunate. You know, people, that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, I'm a Bible believer. You know, sometimes, you know, I have to say, well, you have to check out, I'm not a Mormon. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a charismatic. I got to think about, I'm not now, because everyone, they've brainwashed a lot of people out there. A lot of missionaries that go out of the country, they're knocking on doors. Oh, you must be a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or charismatic. They've kind of set their religiosity out there and turned people off. They have to kind of be independent of what's going on. These are troublemakers. When the righteous are, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Just like they knew. See that? Oh man, these people there. I mean, think about it. You have no set place to get justice. You know, if you have no place to have justice, real justice, it's just kind of mournful. Why do anything? You know, when I was in Italy, visiting a friend of mine, back in the 80s, the government was in disarray. He was a doctor. He had two sets of books. He had the real books, and then he had the books against the government, because you were taxed basically on square footage and everything, you know. So he had the real books and books against, because they were corrupt. So you're forced being would corrupt yourself to give them stuff because they were corrupt themselves. That's going on today. You know, it's interesting here in look at history when all those priests and scribes and elders false accusing the Lord, they knew kind of what happened. Well, it was prophesied what happened in 70 AD when Titus came into Israel 35 years later and literally destroyed that place. You know, history says they hung over 500 people up along the city and crucified them, a lot of these priests. I just bet that all these guys that were still alive mocking the Lord, they're the first to get hung up. Lord, press, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're going, you're going, and you're going, and hung right up. That's just what I'm guessing. The Lord, oh yeah, just wait. Your turn's coming, buddy. All these guys are still alive. There they are going, they're probably going, oh! Remember what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ? I just wonder about that. You just wait and see how the Lord just kind of slowly takes justice and it goes boom, 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 boom. Amazing thing there, you know. So you got cruel, wicked folks. This is something that is terrible. Now, one last one for lack of time here. The mocking soldiers and some Luke 23:11, it says, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous robes. So there it is, the men of war. Those are those soldiers, the men of war. And in Luke 23:36, and the soldiers also mocked him. Here are people that under authority and should understand things. They're also getting in with the game. You know what I'm saying? They've seen the rulers do it. They've seen Herod mocking him and Pilate disrespect them. They just got right in there. See, people kind of just follow that train, what's going on. It's like today, there's the news media. I just follow along with the majority. That's why you got to be a thinker. You got to know the scripture, and you got to be a thinker because you can get strayed very easily what's going on. The masses will draw you down the broad road, right? The broad road is not the good road. It's the broad road. And the narrow road is this way here, the scripture. These guys, very sad. Coming to him and offered him vinegar. Luke 23:35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derived him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, chosen of God. And so the soldiers and these people did it. And that derived means laughed at, mocked, ridiculed. That's, you know, dying is one thing, very heinous, but you know, though, people mocking you. You know, there's power of life and death in the words. And you know, if they've ever been false accused somewhere, some way, kind of hurts. Because you're, man, I didn't do that. Or my effect was this way, and thought something else, and they're telling you, hey, that's what the Lord went through. So, and those soldiers and rulers were just mocking them. So it's just groups of folks. I got a bunch more for next week, but I kind of see what's happening, how the Lord set this thing up, a lot that's going on today. You can look at this, replace some of these people today with the news media dupes and these people in Congress and these the Mott Squad, they call that, whatever they call it in Washington, these Muslim people here, just real loud and boisterous, you know, yeah. No one's got the gut to shut them up. Ain't that an amazing thing? Where are they at? So you can kind of see the table is getting drawn for the Lord's return for us. I mean, ultimately, he's coming second time, but before he does, we know we're out of here. So you kind of see what's happening, how it's all getting drawn up. And so, you know, all this should bring motivation to us, the saints. Just hang in there, you know, stay healthy so we can get out of here. Okay? Questions, comments, anything? Okay. Yeah. Question? Yes. Oh, amen. It's all true. Okay. All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just an opportunity to look at the scripture here and seeing the stage here that the Lord was at back in his days 2,000 years ago. And it seems like things work in a circle, coming just back around again. We can see this brewing, not only in our country, around the world. So we just pray, Lord, that we understand these things, that you can lead us to be soldiers and witnesses, Lord, for thee. And the boat, I believe, is sinking. I don't think the hole's just too big to fill up. We need to get as many on as we can before it froze up. We can lift it up. So thank you, Father, for this time. We ask that you just will stir it in folks, that they would be encouraged to serve thee, Father, and to read your word and to be witness and soldiers for thee. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.